However, two passages of scripture related, Luke chapter 21 and reading verses 31 to 38. I mean, 22, sorry. Luke 22, verse 31 to 38. And then John 21, 15 to 23. First of all, then, Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 38. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And he said to him, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me, namely, that he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And then John chapter 21 and verses 15 to 23. So when they had eaten breakfast, this is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we turn to these passages in the context of the ordination and installation of office bearers. And the first thing that I'd like to point out in this passage is the conflict that leaders face, and indeed we all do as Christians. Because though office bearers are called to particular offices in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, nevertheless we are all called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As our confessions clearly teach, we're all prophet, priest, and kings. We've been all called to serve. And so in a broader application of this passage before us, it certainly has a relationship to us in our personal life. But there are conflicts to people, for people that the Lord Jesus Christ calls. They may be looked down upon by the world, even sometimes from within the church itself. Paul reminds us of that in terms of generally about Christians when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the kinds of people that God calls into his church aren't those that stand out in this world. But rather, they're people that are looked down upon. So he's in verse 8 and 9. That not many of us were influential. Not many of us were noble. Not many of us were wise according to the standards of this world. And yet he calls us into the church. He says, these are my children. And the world looks down upon that. The world ridicules the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the leaders that he picks. I mean, they don't stand out, most of them. I mean, God calls Moses, prepares him for 40 years, going to send him back to Egypt. And he says, yeah, not me. I can't do it. I'm not gifted. I can't even speak. And you think, well, you know, Lord, I mean, was that the best choice? I mean, you pick this guy and he's not even ready to go. He doesn't find himself that he's not prepared. Or other leaders that God picked. They weren't received with great admiration. I mean, Moses finally, when he did go, and Aaron his brother, you remember the people looked down upon them. They had 250 others that were much better than they were. They should be leaders. Not just you. Really, they meant not you, but not just you. No, we're just as holy, we're just as good. Why him? Why them? Why one family? Because they were brothers, of course. But even without that criticism from the world, and as I said, even sometimes from the church itself, as with the rebellion. But in our own hearts arise doubts. I mean, who is able for these things? I don't know if you've ever had a job that you felt were, you know, a little beyond you. Didn't quite have all the, you know, skills that other people have, and now you've got this job, but you feel insecure because you don't feel fully equipped. Well, that sometimes can happen. But that certainly happens with elders and deacons and ministers. When you hear all the things that God calls us to do, then you think, you remember Moses, or even Solomon with all of his wisdom. He said, how am I going to take care of all these people? How can I have all these responsibilities on my shoulders. I can't do it. I need wisdom. He didn't ask for power. Didn't ask for a huge army. No, he asked for wisdom. Wisdom. And here in our passage, we have the apostles. I mean, the apostles are going to be part and parcel of the foundation of the church in terms that they're going to be instruments by which the foundation of the church is going to be laid, which, of course, is the Word of God. That's why it speaks about prophets and apostles, because they were the instruments by which the Word of God came. And when we look at the apostles, And you look outwardly at it and you think, Lord, are they the best 12 you could have picked? I mean, is this the A team? Really? I mean, 3 years being with you and look at the kind of things they were involved with. Who's the greatest among us? Let's figure that one out. Forget the church. Let's just figure out who's the greatest. Let's figure out who's going to sit where. Right? And the mother was sent to plead for the Lord Jesus Christ to give her sons the seats on the left and the right of him. These are the things that are occupying their minds. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ tells them, Peter, the leader of the pack, as it were, that he's going to deny him 3 times. Is it not on your life? You're mistaken. You don't understand. You don't understand the devotion that I have toward you. I'm willing to go to prison. No, more than that. I'm willing to die with you. That's the amount of commitment that I have. And all the others were along with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ burst his bubble. He said, well, you know, the night isn't going to end before you deny me 3 times. Not just once, 3 times. And even before that, I mean, the most central aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, Peter says, "Now we're not going to do it that way. You're going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, die? No, that's no good. I've got a better plan." And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you don't mind the things of God, but of men." That's how fickle we are. The greatest of leaders. Or David. I mean, look at David. Great leader, absolutely, by the grace of God. But he also fell. In and of ourselves, we are those that will have fear thrust into our hearts by just a noise, just a whisper. Remember Elijah? Great leader. He heard that Jezebel was after him. Boy, did he move. I mean, he got out of there at top speed. Discouraged and depressed. Lord, you know, take my life, it's all over. We've lost the battle. I mean, that's the way we are. But the Lord knows what he's doing. And so we need to trust him. And as a people, we need to trust him. He knew what he was doing with the apostles. He knew what he was doing with his leaders throughout, from the beginning of time to the end. However lowly they might have been, whatever weaknesses that they might have had, yet God chose them and used them. Let us be thankful. And let those that are called to leadership not to trust in their own strength. We can be all like Peter, can't we? I can handle it. I know what needs to be done to the church. I know how to shape it. I know how to lead it. I know what things to change. That's not what the Lord is calling you to. We have a head. Thank you very much. We have a ruler in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God. He knows what he's doing. He's building his church. Sad to say, sometimes that happens. People enter office with all kinds of agendas that they have. We don't need agendas. We have them. Jesus Christ is our agenda. He's going to build his church. He has the mission of the church. And that's to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, to further his kingdom. People of God, we need leaders that are willing to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to do his bidding, not to chart a new path, a new direction. We've had enough of those in the church down the ages. No. We need those that are faithful to the historic Christian faith that has been once and for all delivered to the saints. And that's why we had this morning our subscription to the forms, so that we may remain on that narrow path, obedient to Christ. No matter what the world says, if they mock it, or no matter what people say in the church, that they, oh, you have to change, you can't believe these things, otherwise we'll be laughed out of court. We don't care. We don't care. We have a path, and we're staying on it. And the leaders that are called to be obedient to Christ, not to listen to the world, not to listen to popular opinion, but listen to the Word of God. When we do that, whatever others may say about us, whatever the world may say about us, we will find all the leadership that we want. We will find all the grace and help that we need, which is what the Lord Jesus Christ says in the second place in this passage. As he gives Peter, and indeed the rest of the apostles, his bad news, he also gives them a promise. The Lord Jesus Christ says to Peter, and indeed through him to the other disciples, he says, look, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, to try you, to attack you. But rest assured, be of good comfort. Why? Because I have prayed for you. And what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed? The Lord Jesus Christ prayed that their faith may not fail. Sometimes people may be confused with that, right? They say, well, Jesus said that he's going to pray for Peter and indeed the rest, that his faith may not fail, but yet he denied him three times that night. See, there's a difference between stumbling, falling, and losing your faith. Peter never lost his faith, as we see from John chapter 21. He didn't lose his faith. He took a tumble. He took tumbles before. He took a tumble. We're not perfect people. Satan is going to come after us as leaders. He's going to seek to try and trip us up. He's going to seek to divide us. He's going to seek to distract us and take us off in a different direction. But Christ has prayed for us. Christ prays for all of his office bearers, as indeed he prays for all of his children. Not only the faith of leaders is not going to fail, but also the faith of believers is not going to fail, as we have just been going through the canons of Dort and finished the last chapter on the perseverance of the saints. Not one will be lost, no matter how Satan comes at us. Not one is going to fail. The Lord Jesus Christ is the leader of his church. Watches over every office bearer, every Christian, to guide them and to lead them. And though they make mistakes, which they do, yet he's ready to restore them, to strengthen them, to grant them wisdom, even as he did the church, the leaders in the early church. I mean, Peter, even though he's prayed for here, was somehow confused about the Gentiles and the Jews. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just toss him aside or allow that to wreck the church. He led him to understanding that. to embrace the Gentile in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't just give us authority and then say, go with it, do whatever you have to do. No, he leads us every step of the way. It's not that we are just missing tools. That's all we need. No, no, no. We need more than just tools. We need his strength. We need his Holy Spirit to strengthen us in those times. I mean, how many times did Moses need strengthening when the people were talking about stoning him and going back to Egypt? I mean, how discouraging is that? They want to kill off the leaders and go to the enemies of God, the house of bondage. Don't want to listen. Even as the prophets found out, which of the prophets, says the Lord Jesus Christ, did your fathers not kill, even though they brought you the word of God? Well, even David, a great leader, you remember. But then, remember when he came back and he wanted to, and the city that they were living in was destroyed and the children and women taken, and the men were so angry. And where did they direct the anger? At the leader. Directed it at David. And we're told that he strengthened himself in the Lord. In the Lord. He didn't say, well, I've got 5 on my side or 100 on my side. I can build on that. No, no. He had none on his side. But he had the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. That's where we need to focus our mind and attention when things are tough, when things are difficult. We don't think of quitting and turning back. No. We turn to the Lord. We have to be familiar with that path that brings us into the Holy of Holies. And we plead before the Lord Jesus Christ that he may strengthen us and give us the wisdom that we need, not to fight against God's people, but to intercede as David did for the Israelites. God was ready to destroy the Israelites. He said, get out of the way, I'm going to destroy those people, and I'll build a nation from you. But Moses didn't sit in the cheering gallery and wait, did he? He pleaded for them. That's the love that we need to have. But we need to find our strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised to do so. And therefore, we need to go to him. And so, the last passage brings us to this point, which is to the demonstration of God's grace, of Christ's grace. So here is Peter that some people might have said, why are you picking him? Look at him. He's failed again. He denied you 3 times. You should, I mean, he's definitely one that you should pull out and put somebody else in. That's the way we look at it. Look at leaders with struggles and we say, oh no, he's no good. But what a wonderful passage the Lord Jesus Christ gives. As he says to Peter after the resurrection, Peter, do you love me? And no doubt Peter has in his mind those denials. I mean, it's not that long ago, right? It was only a matter of probably a week, maybe. And he knows what's happened. But he still says, from his heart of hearts, he says, Lord, you know I love you. And so the Lord Jesus says, confirms that, accepts that, by giving to him the responsibility of taking care of his people, taking care of his sheep. But then he asks him again the same question. And Peter answers again. And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then again he confirms it. I mean, obviously a relationship between the 3 denials and the 3 questions. But again he says, yes. And then he says, well, feed my sheep. And then he says to him a 3rd time, Peter, do you love me? And now it says Peter was grieved. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. Yes, Peter fell. Yes, he gave in to fear. But it wasn't that he wasn't a leader and that God hadn't ordained him. Now look what he brings out of that fearful, scared man. He brings him after the resurrection to restore him to his position. But then this remarkable revelation that Christ gives to Peter. He says, look, when you were younger, you went where you wanted to go. Dressed yourself, walked wherever you wanted to go. He says, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will lead you to where you do not wish. He was speaking about his death. In other words, Jesus is saying to him, you're going to die for me, Peter. In serving me, you're going to serve me by sacrificing your life. And so he says to him, follow me. In that light, in what I've just revealed to you, now I want you to come and follow me. It wasn't a possibility, you understand. It was a certainty. That's what Jesus was saying. It's certain that you're going to die in serving me. Now let's go. Remember, that was a problem before. He was fearful. He was ready to go to prison and to die. But of course, when push came to shove, no. But now look, Peter is ready to follow. But Peter, don't you hear what he just said? You're going to die doing this. Yeah, but I'm going. No, Peter did, in fact, as you very well know, lay down his life. So did most of the other apostles. So yes, they fled when the Lord Jesus Christ was taken to the cross. Yes, they gave in to fear, but they were restored. And they served with the strength that God gave them, even to the point of death itself. So yes, God doesn't pick, as they say, the sharpest knife in the drawer. But it's his pick. And by the way, the sharpest knives in the drawer don't always do that well. Because they've got a mind of their own. They've got an agenda of their own. They've got so much self-confidence. They think they can handle it. No, but these people, God chooses. Because he's going to mold them. He's going to strengthen them. And from them will come forth the power and the grace of God that works in these people to bring out the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people and a devotion to God's people and to God's church. Those are the leaders that you want. We don't want Sauls. We don't want Sauls. We want Davids that know how to defend their sheep and know how to follow their Lord and Savior. People of God, let us honor those that God chooses. But let us pray for those that God chooses. Because if Peter and the other apostles needed to be prayed for by the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly we do. And so we ask that you pray for them so that by God's grace we may receive from him through them strength and encouragement and nourishment for the soul so that we might all grow into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a safe haven to all those that are looking for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for all those that are in the church, that they may have the strength and the comfort that they need day by day to love their Lord and to serve him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you once again that you are our rock and fortress. You are our wisdom from heaven. You are our confidence. It's in you that we boast. You are our victory, for we are more than conquerors through you, our Lord and Savior. And even when we contemplate the assaults of the devil himself, we are confident that you will give us the words to speak, that you will give us the grace, even if necessary, to lay down our life for you, for your people. And so, our Father, we pray that we might be thankful to be part of your church, that we might pray for your church, that we may pray for our leaders, that we may pray for one another, so that, our Father, we might be a faithful church that proclaims the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and gathers into itself, by the working of your Holy Spirit, all those that you choose to add to your people. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would receive our thanks, that you would bless us further as we begin a new year soon to serve you, to honor you, to glorify you. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.